We continue the shiur in Sichas Horan, sayings of Rabbeinu Zal. We are now on Seif Tzadik Test, paragraph 99. Rabbeinu Zal says that we know factually, Rabbeinu Zal stressed many times, that a person, no matter how good he is, each person is called a tree. There are very tall, stately trees that are barren, that serve no purpose except for firewood. But they give no benefit to people if they do not bear fruit. The right kind of a tree is one that bears fruit. Same holds true with persons. Benedict said to his Talmidim, I want you to be fruit-bearing trees, which means that don't just be religious for yourselves, but go out and inspire others, enlighten others, teach them how to serve Hashem, doing mitzvahs and being more sincere. So the Menachem says, when a person speaks to his friend about Yiras Shemayim, about fear of Hashem, about religion, this actually creates a beam, a light beam, a ray, that emanates from the person's mouth who is speaking and directly strikes at the person who is receiving these words. Now this light beam, carrying the words of this person, the words of Kedusha, is called the Eir Yashar. Eir Yashar means a direct ray towards the goal, towards the recipient. Automatically, there is also an Eir Chayzer, which means the ray strikes the target, and then it returns. There's a ray that returns. Eir Chayzer, this beam returns, boomerangs back to the person who disseminated this first ray. Now this ray again is one of Kedusha. It is a light of Teda, a spiritual heavenly light. Therefore, a person who speaks about Yiras Shemayim to someone else benefits himself, because those same words bounce back. Menachem compares this to a wall, a solid wall, and you throw a ball at the wall. It'll strike the wall, come right back to the one who tosses the ball, and receive it back again. So too, a person who speaks to his friend, Yiras Shemayim, a light that goes forth from him strikes this person, and whether the person absorbs it or not, it can be that this person is deaf, meaning he refuses to accept. But the words will still come back to the person who said it, and they will penetrate into himself. And he will find that by speaking to somebody else, he himself becomes aroused with a new desire, a new fervent spirit in Yiras Shemayim and serving Hashem. Much more so than if he would speak to himself. He would say these words while he is alone, or think them in his mind. They would not have this kind of an effect. They do have the effect when it is one that reverberates, comes back off the person to whom he spoke. So that Benel says, think, you have a chance to bear fruit. You have a chance to instill, to plant these words, these gems of wisdom, of holiness, into a person who needs them badly. If that person receives them, if he absorbs them, fine, you have accomplished tremendously. If chas v'sholom not, if the person you speak to refuses, rejects words of Kedusha, you've lost nothing, you've gained a lot. Because you can get much more for yourself now than you had previously. So these words do not go lost at all. Because at least you'll become a better person. And it's possible it may benefit both of you. The person who's listening might absorb it, might accept it. Plus yourself, you'll find that you have gained. You as a tree will grow, will blossom forth even stronger than before, plus the fact the fruit you bear will be the same as yourself. This also says the benefit of speaking to others. Each person should see to it that no matter how good he is, no matter how good he thinks he is, do not be satisfied, because a real tzaddik is not one who confines himself in closed quarters, and there he serves Hashem to the utmost. Whether he studies Torah day and night, Davens day and night, and fasts, and abstains from any kind of desires, physical desires, it is still not the case of a real tzaddik. A real tzaddik is one that goes out to assist, to benefit others. Now, the Benedel says, another topic, we find in the story of Yosef HaTzadik, talking about a real tzaddik. We know that the real tzaddik is symbolized with the word Tikkun HaBris, one who is perfect as a tzaddik, and the main topic of tzaddik. The symbol of a tzaddik is Yosef HaTzadik, more than any other person ever. The word tzaddik is automatically associated with the word Yosef HaTzadik, just as Rabbeinu is connected with Moshe Rabbeinu, Ovinu is Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, tzaddik is Yosef HaTzadik. So we have to see what was one of the items that elevated Yosef HaTzadik to this madrega of tzaddik. He had to overcome a special battle with the Satan, with the Yetzihara, evil inclination that attacks every person. Generally, the Taivas Noshim, Taivas Meshagel, Chasashom, Chil Labris, is the greatest battle that a person has in life. There's no question about that. No one can dispute that. Even though there is Taivas Mona, the desire for money, Taivas Achila, the desire for food, the other two of the three, but the worst one, the most difficult one to overcome, the main one where a person can achieve the title Tzaddik, is Taivas Noshim, if he can overcome that evil desire, when it is evil, of course. We're not speaking about cases where it's Kedusha with one's wife, where there's the first mitzvah of the Taita. But where it is wrong, where it is sinful, that is the worst Taiva of all, and that's where a person overcoming that can become classified as a Tzaddik. In the story of Yosef HaTzadik's confrontation with the wife of Potiphar, there is one phrase, Benazal dwells upon that phrase, where it says that when she tried to subdue him, she tried to overcome him, she tried to entice him, and he rejected her advances. Finally, it says about Tispesehu Bevigdoi, that she grabbed hold of his coat and held on to it tightly and would not let go. There was only one alternative, either to surrender to her, Chas V'Sholom, or to let go of the coat himself and to escape without the coat. Otherwise, he was doomed. In his case, of course, Yosef HaTzadik, it says, Vayanach Bigdei Etzlo, he left his coat with her. He left over his coat, his garment, Vayonas, and he fled. Vayonas, and he fled. He ran. He ran for his life. He ran for his spiritual life. The Zechus was so great. Vayonos, the word Vayonos, the Gemara says, that word became the key to the great miracle we just read about in the Torah this past Shabbos. The miracle of dividing of the waters of the Red Sea was due to this act of Yosef HaTzadik. When it says that the waters divided, the waters fled before the advancement of the Jews, it was because of the schus of Yosef HaTzadik, who fled from the tentacles of Potiphar's wife. Benedel says, now let us analyze, let us study those two words. She grabbed his coat. Who is she? She is not really a she. She is the Yetzihara. She is the angel of evil, the Satan. Who is Yosef HaTzadik? Every Jew. Every Jew is attacked by the Yetzihara, by the Satan, who tries to overcome and to crush the goodness within him, to victimize him, to make him drop his religion. What are the wiles, the schemes, the tricks of the Satan to get a person, capture him through his clothes? There is a special taiva, special evil desire that is very widespread, that is just about universal. The idea of wearing clothes that are in style. If the present style is to wear a wide lapel, the men will discard good suits, precious ones they paid good money for, money which was misered, money which they worked hard for, good Jewish money, kosher money that was not stolen, and discard that because they want to keep up with the styles, this mudda. It's called the mudda, the Yiddish word for style, which of course is the evil of the Satan himself. He captures his victims through the taiva of clothes. With these clothes, through the idea of clothes, this leads to bigger and worse, much worse type of evils, of sins. Because when the item of clothes comes in, a person begins to groom himself to wear a special type of garments where he'd match the best of society. This leads to the worst characteristic of all, and that is gaiva, this haughtiness, conceit. He's wearing a $300 suit. He goes out and boasts or struts in front of others, showing off this expensive set of clothes he bought, or $50 shoes, or different articles of clothing. And this brings about to a haughtiness which covers, which crushes the neshama, the soul, that cannot bear this burden. Hashem says, I will not live together, be together with this person on earth. Where a person has haughtiness or conceit, the two cannot be together. Because Hashem, Moloch, Geus, Lovesh. Geus, greatness, is the garment of Hashem. When a person puts on clothes and he's cloaked in haughtiness and conceit, that person is kaviyachol, to a degree, pushing aside the Shekhinah, the spirit of Hashem. Because where he is where the Shekhinah was. It is only when a person is very humble and counts as nothing that he can be together with the Shekhinah simultaneously. So the Bein El says, how evil is this desire created by the Satan, the trap the Satan sets for people. This, of course, could apply to women also, because some go beyond their means to spend extra money for clothes, beyond their financial ability. This could even destroy, Chas V'Shalom, the family harmony. But especially in the case of men, this holds true. And there is a certain delicate, very delicate form of this gaiva, which even attacks the top echelons, the very top of, not society, but the top level of even the so-called tzaddikim. There are certain ones who place their clothes above many other types of mitzvahs. They will consider themselves a superior race because they wear certain type of clothes they consider makes them holy. Those that wear shtreimel, or those that wear white socks, those that wear different types of Hasidic garb, which is not actually a sign or a symbol of the inside, the interior of the person. It is true, of course, that that type of clothing has a degree of kedusha to it. That's understood. It is made for religious people, and they should be admired for wearing it. But when the clothing, the exterior, takes over, rules over the interior, and this brings about to a beged of geus lovesh, the garments they wear are ones that they boast with, consider themselves superior race. They look down demeaningly at others who don't wear that type of garment. Then they have defeated their own purpose completely. This is what the Minazal was about, if you're going to be that religious, you're going to wear that type of clothing, you'll put on a shtreimel, don't let that shtreimel be your doom. Don't let it be a downfall. Instead of a crown, it becomes a crushing weight on the neshama, Chas V'Shalom. What then? What is the key? Minazal says, Ashrei, how fortunate and blessed is that person that can perform, fulfill the rest of the pasuk, Vayanach Bigdei Etzlo. Leave this garment to the Satan. He wants to trap you with it. Give him back this garment, Vayanach, and flee. Flee from the scheme of the Satan to bring you to the worst depth of despair, the depth of Gaiva, which is Avodah Zarah, Chas V'Shalom. But this Paseo Bevigdai is one of the main tricks of the Satan, and especially, much more so in our generation, when there are more and more clothing manufacturers and newest styles that come out, a person must buy clothes modestly, very modestly. Don't go out to compare to the Goyim, Chas v'Shalom. Above all, one of the main reasons that the Jews were saved from Mitzrayim, the Golos of Egypt, was the fact that they retained their clothing identity, different than the Goyim. Today, too, a Jew should know that he's not supposed to emulate, copy the Goyim in their ways of dress. Jew should remain his own modest self, walk in the ways of Hashem with modesty, and that person will be saved from the evils of the Satan. Benazal says now, the next paragraph, which, as we said, we find a direct relation between paragraphs, that in serving Hashem, a person does not have to be very clever, very shrewd. That's not the way to serve Hashem, with a shrewdness. The best way to serve Hashem is with simplicity. Very simple-minded, a person can be a very simpleton. But in his simple manner, he serves Hashem, exactly fulfilling what Hashem wants him to do. The wisest person could be a person who studies Torah very deeply and very in depth of wisdom, yet if that person delves deeper and deeper into this wisdom, will find himself falling into the trap of philosophy. Whereas a person that goes b'pshitus, with simplicity, taking each word of the Torah in its simple form and fulfilling it as simply as possible, that person is reaching the highest degree of serving Hashem. Again, a very delicate form, kaviyochel. Kaviyochel means, if we may use this term. Benel says that above all else, naturally, is Hashem himself. Yet we find that the extreme degree of simplicity is found by Hashem himself. Hashem conducts himself in the greatest degree of simplicity, because Hashem, in all his awesome infinite greatness, still reveals himself to us, his own words, the words of the Torah and mitzvahs, and lowers himself, kaviyachol, to be close to every single Jew. As we said, if a Jew wants to commune, to speak to Hashem, then there's no necessity to go through 10 different secretaries or to make appointments a month in advance. At the very second's notice, without notice at all, the Jew just has to turn his face upwards to Hashem or turn his face down anywheres and speak. At that very moment, Hashem is listening closely, attentively, to every word that he utters, and will respond if these words are said simpleness and with sincerity. So therefore, the greatest, the wisest person is the most simple one. And the one who is too wise, that person destroys himself, because he draws himself away from the Kedusha of Pshitos, which is the true way of Hashem. Benazar brings the pasuk Hashem Elokov Imai Usruas Melech Bai. He translates it this way: when a person breaks the atheism, kfidos apikorsis, there is of course a constant wave of kfida in the world. Those who are opposed to true faith, those that try to deny the existence, the creation of the world, the truth of the Torah, the word of Hashem, the person destroys that, breaks, crashes through it, he will find his amazement that in the core, the center of this item, of this idol, of this atheism, there he will find Hashem himself. Because nothing can exist in this world without Hashem sustaining it. Even an actual idol which people worship, that too is because of Hashem's existence. That's why the idols are called Kael Zor, or Elikim Achedim, because it is still Elikim. Without Hashem there, this couldn't exist. It is made with Hashem there to mislead, to test others in their faith, but still, a person has sunk so deeply that he's formed in his kafina, he doesn't have to go far to return to Hashem. Right where he is, right in the center, in the midst of this kafina, this atheism, he can turn and find the existence of Hashem and come back as close to Hashem as possible. One single turn to the right. Now this is called the kavod of Hashem. The true honor of Hashem is simply cloaked. It's cloaked in these thoughts, these statements of atheism by these kafirim, and it is covered and requires a person to delve, to find it, to understand that nothing exists without Hashem. And therefore, no matter how far a person has descended into sin, right where he is, in the very depth, he can do tshuva and find Hashem there. And the difference is between one who does tshuva or those who are mechakrim, philosophers, deep thinkers who go into philosophy. Their life is a very unpleasant one. Their physical life is unpleasant because they can never really fulfill their desires. What do they live for? They don't believe in Olam Haba. They believe only in Olam Hazeh, this world. They want to live. You live one life, they say, and live it well. So as much as they try to fulfill their desires with buying more and more clothes, for example, or better cars, or going to better restaurants, they find there's always something missing. They cannot really find a true satisfaction and enjoyment. And this makes them suffer. They feel badly because they have nothing to look forward to later on, afterlife. Here they find they're not fulfilling themselves. So that in the so-called joy, in the luxuries, in the pleasures that they have, these earthly material pleasures, there is still a vacuum. They're not fulfilling their desires, so they suffer during the time of pleasure. Aside from which, surely more so, imagine what happens when some kind of suffering or tragedy befalls them. If they become ill, or they have some type of a serious problem, then they surely suffer because they have nothing to fall back on, nothing to look forward to. They have no faith, no belief that this can turn out for their benefit. Whereas a person who has true emunah, true faith, that person lives a double life because he knows at all times that if he doesn't have too much luxury, too much pleasure in this world, he knows that there awaits him an eternity of extreme pleasure in Olam Haba, in Gan Eden, afterwards. And even when he does have yesudim, some type of suffering or ailments during his life here, and two, he sustains himself, he consoles himself with the thought that this is good, because for two reasons. The first place, he has a very strong faith in Hashem. If he's ill now, he knows that Hashem is watching him, and Hashem will help, and Hashem will cure him. So in his illness, he's happy with the thought that Hashem will send a cure. Plus the fact that even at this moment of his suffering, he's also happy in that the suffering will help to erase some of his sins. It'll erase the necessary punishment for them. So a person who has faith lives a good life even in this world. Though he has, of course, the main reward waiting for him in Olam Haba. Whereas the mechakrim, the philosophers, the atheists, not only have no Olam Haba, even according to their thoughts, of course they have an Olam Haba, a future life, but in the wrong place, where they must pay an eternal penalty for their atheistic ideals. But even in this world too, they have no consolation whatsoever. They have no feeling of satisfaction. They can never reach the point where they are completely satisfied. And then too, there is the inyan of a type of suffering that cuts a person's life short. It subtracts years or days from his life. And what is that? That is fear. A person who lives in fear, fright, shortens a person's lifespan. Now, there are two kinds of fear, though. There is Yirat Shamayim, fear of Hashem. A person who commits a sin, a religious person committing a sin, is filled with a fear of Hashem, and this leads him to tshuva. This fear, this fear of the ultimate, the punishment for the sin, the fear of the fact that he has gone against Hashem's word, that kind of fear does not shorten his life. There's a pasuk, Yidas Hashem, Tosif Yomim. Fear of Hashem increases, multiplies the years he will live. It's a special type of fear which lengthens his lifespan. Whereas those who do not have this fear of Hashem, those who do not feel the spirit, the spiritual ideal in serving Hashem, for them, any type of fear or any type of worry will shorten their lifespan and will make their life that much more bitter. And so therefore, too, the Benedict says that, note, every person practically commits sins. In order to correct, to amend, to make amends for these sins, a person must do tshuva and must pay for them. He's got to repay. How does a person repay? Gemara says, through remorse, regret, sorrow for the sin he committed. He must have yesudim, suffering. He must suffer to pay for the sin. How much must he pay? An equivalent amount. Whatever he committed, for that the amount of pleasure he had, he must now suffer in its place. An equal amount. So a person who really has a true fear of Hashem, a true spirit of Ahavas Hashem, serving Hashem, and true faith, when that person commits a sin, that sin is not a healthy sin. Because even at the time he's doing it, he feels very badly inside of himself. So the pleasure itself is not really fulfilled in doing that sin. His sense of guilt, his conscience, bothers him so that he cannot really enjoy the sin he's committing. Therefore, the tshuva he does is only a light one. It requires a light degree of tshuva to cover that light degree of pleasure he had in committing the sin. But the persons who don't have faith, they go into this sin in depth. They cloak themselves completely, they immerse themselves in the sin fully taking advantage, enjoying the pleasures of this illegal act. Therefore, their tshuva, the repentance, is so much more severe, so much requires so much more action on their part, so much more suffering for the sin. Therefore, the Menachem says that one of the worst evils that a person should shy away from is the study of philosophy, or any contact with those who study philosophy. And the Benazal quotes from the Shiloh HaKadosh. Shiloh HaKadosh states la halacha that it is forbidden for any Jew to ever open up one of those sforim, philosophy books written by anyone, even written by the greatest of the rabbis of the past, because anyone who delves into it, surely loses his part in Gan Eden. Just as the Rabbi Akiva states the halacha, and so it is foolish for a person to give up, to surrender his Gan Eden for the sake of the temporary potential pleasure of reading these poisonous books. So how much wiser a person is if he remains a simple person with simple faith, without delving into this deep thought, deep penetrations into faith with philosophy. Person's a ma'amin b'pshitus, very simply and very sincerely, he believes completely, utterly in the existence of Hashem, in the fact that Hashem rules, reigns, and will always reign, the fact that the Torah is the word of Hashem, and every word of the Torah is the truth. All these are different facets of faith. Benedict says, therefore, how much better it is for a person to be a blind fool. Actually, using that word, a blind fool, which means a person who has blind faith and who believes in everything, even that which might be foolish. Others might consider it very foolish to believe certain things that might be meaningless. There is some statements brought by certain Sforum that may not be all that true. Small items that are handed down from the grandmother's age. tiny items that pertain to possible superstitions or things like that, and the person who believes everything that is written, foolishly even, much better off that person is than the person who is the wise one, who constantly delves deeper and deeper into faith, and thereby denies everything that he reads, because he attacks it, he criticizes it, he studies it that deeply that he finds fault with it, and he is called the wise one. And as I'll hear, in this case, quotes the words of the Gemara, the Kavi Malalel says, I'd much rather be called a fool all my life because of my implicit faith, rather than to find myself being called a Rosh Chas V'Shalom by Hashem that moment when I come before the heavenly court. So how much better off a person is who has this pure, simple faith. And if there are others who scoff at him, who mock him, who belittle him, then it's worth undergoing that bit of suffering, the hands of others, but knowing inside very clear that your conscience is very, very clear. You have what to look forward to, because you'll be able to boast proudly, very proudly boast at the heavenly court, I went through my entire lifetime, I never opened, never looked into, never studied the words of the philosophers. How much that statement is worth when a person comes before the heavenly court. That too is like saying, I made it. I went through life and I made it. I did not fall victim to philosophy, which is a point of no return. Maimonides says a person who studies philosophy can never really come back. This is a topic that B'mikra, by coincidence, we're learning now in the Gemara. We began it last Wednesday's Shia. This Wednesday's Shia is a continuation of that. To show the poison of philosophy, to which there is no return, even the case, as the Gemara says, the case where a person wasn't in tshuva for it. Tshuva can, of course, repentance can help anything, but it will still cause the death of that person. A person must die if he has delved that deeply into philosophy. At least that would be the favor for him, to save him from the evils of philosophy itself. So the best thing is that a person should never allow himself to look into these books, to listen to these words, never get into a controversy, a debate, a discussion, a forum with these philosophers. Do not discuss it with them, because you cannot correct them. You cannot change their minds. Those who are poisoned by it have reached the point of no return. The best thing is not to associate with them, not to have any discussions at all. Remain pure throughout this very, very short life. And know that you have served Hashem with pure, true, simple emunah. Maimonides quotes the Gemara, which says that if this menuvo, if this disgusting character, the Gemara calls him, the Yetzer Hara is called a disgusting character, he's an angel, but still he is a menuvo, if he meets you in Pogabacha, and what do you do then? How do you escape? You can't just push him aside. The Gemara says, Mashicheihu lebeis hamedrash, drag him with you into the yeshiva, sit down and learn, and then you'll be saved from his clutches. Maimonides says, note the words, Poga Becha, if he meets you, pull him into the Beis HaMedrash. What is this Yetzer Hara? The Zohar Kodesh says the Yetzer Hara is a fiery angel. Fire because he enters into the heart of a person and he arouses him with a deep fiery passion to commit sin. That's why Yetzer is Begimatria Eish, fire. The antidote to counteract him is the Torah, Hashem says, Alei Kai Dvorai Ka Eish Niu Hashem. Words of Hashem, my words, Hashem says, are words of fire. My words of fire are superior to the inferior fire of the Yetzer Hara. Therefore, if you are attacked by his fire, go into the Beis HaMedrash, go into the study, start studying Torah, and you will overcome this Yetzer Hara. Maimonides says, to go one step further, we still haven't explained the word in Poga Mechamunavu Zeh, if he meets you, if he sees you, you come together. What is the word poga? The word poga, we know, also means tefillah. It means tefillah davening. Benito says it is possible for this maneuver, for this Yetzirah, to attack a person right in the middle of his davening. Not when he's outside where he sees things that are bad, or when he's doing something where it can be diverted to a sin, but where he is standing and davening in the midst of the deepest part of tefillah, he can have this penetration of the Yetzirah, the Satan, come into his mind and draw his mind away from the words he is saying into actually evil thoughts. So in Paga Becha, if you find the Yetzirah in the middle of your tefillah, what is the key to it? What is the solution? The Beis HaMedrash. Take him to the Beis HaMedrash to learn Taita, because there he has no power. He does have power to enter into Machshava Yisoris B'Shas HaTefillah, evil, strange thoughts at the time of davening. When it comes to learning Taita, then it's impossible for him to have any power. Once a person is not learning Taita, learn Taita, study Taita, the Gemara says that the Asik B'Taita, the study of Taita, is Megin U'Matzil. It protects a person from the Yetzirah, and it rescues a person from sin. The greatest defense, the armor against bad thoughts or against bad actions, is the study of Torah. So even if a person has fallen that low, that in the middle of davening, he's attacked by this evil desire of the Satan, he can still defeat him by taking him into the Beis HaMedrash, which means take him to the study of Torah, and there he'll be forced to leave him, desert him. Speaking about tefillah, the Midrash brings the pasuk "Asher koyach bohem la'amad b'heichal ha'melach." People have the power to stand in the throne room of Hashem. What is meant by the throne room of Hashem? Zayin HaKadosh says, the heichal means the home or the special room set aside for Hashem. The Kaviyachel, the Hashem, the King, is the name Yudkei Vavkei. And the Heichal, the container, the room, for Hashem, is the name Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, Shem Adnei. And therefore, the Shem Adnei is Begimatria Heichal. This is the Heichal for Hashem. That's the pasuk that Vahashem Beheichal Kodshoi. Hashem, is in the Heichal, the holy Heichal, which is Aleph Dalet Nun, which is the one that's used regularly. A person who wants to stand before Hashem at the throne of Hashem, that person can do so if he davens with Kavona. And therefore, before starting a daven Shemoneh Esrei, which is said in the throne of Hashem, a person starts with the words Hashem, Sefosai Tiftoch. Hashem, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, is the word there. That's the Heichal, Sefosai Tiftoch, let my lips open up, let my mouth become the Heichal for Hashem. Let me too become part of this Heichal, so I can rise up to the heights of being that much closer to Hashem. We see where in tefillah itself, a person can actually become a case, or a room, or a container for the spirit of Hashem. The Mishkan of Hashem can be the person's heart and the person's mind. This, the Menachem says, a person can do only with the koyach of the tzaddikimus. That's the reason why we have the general rule before davening, each person should say, I hereby attach myself, bind myself with my tefillah to all tzaddikim mitiyim, especially to the tzaddikimus, the Menachem. Menachem says that emuna itself, faith, is the category of Oyer, light. Faith is light, and therefore we find the pasuk Vemunoscha Balelis. The word is used, Vemunoscha Balelis, that at night is when faith is most necessary. At night means when things are dark, when things do not look good. Then faith is what lights up, brightens up the darkness of the night. Of course, this again means faith without any deep thoughts, without any philosophical thoughts, without any tricks. Very simply, to accept the faith in Hashem without question. Those people who delve into faith and want to know the whys and wherefores, and want to delve into the Torah and find reasons for everything, physical reasons, those people develop a cancer of the brain. What the Gemara calls Balei Rasa. A germ enters into the brain, and this germ poisons the brain. It gives the brain a terminal cancer, as is shown. The result is that since the brain is the source of birth, the children that are born are chas v'shalom affected. The zivig of that person becomes affected too. That person with his mate become affected so that the type of birth is a wrong type. The type of mating is a wrong type, one that is sinful. Therefore, in other words, there is a definite chilul habris that comes from this. This is, as we find in the pasuk in Kriya Shema, which says, "Relais asuru, do not turn away from Hashem, achalei levavchem v'achalei enechem." Levavchem, the heart, deals with faith. What is in the heart, that is faith. Or, where there is lack of faith, it's achalei levavchem z'minus. Because the person turns away from faith. Achalei enechem means that the eyes see, this chilul habris, the eyes see, and then the person desires, and then he fulfills the action in sin. But we see these two words are said directly in connection with each other. They are both combined. Lavavchem enechem. If the person is in the depth of minus, of kfidus, apikorsis, automatically he must be a mechalel bris. He cannot be a kemer bris because these two go together. So a tzaddik can be only one who has that simple emuna. If a person's emuna is lacking, if he has a degree of kfira, the Beit Hillel says no, that you may suspect him, you can be sure that he is committing illegal sins of illegal type with women. You can rest assured of that all these kfirim, these apikursim, are all mechalei bris. They must be because these two go together. Therefore, a person wants to be a true tzaddik, it necessarily dictates that he must have this simple faith. And then, if Achel Avavchem is pure, it is easier for him to overcome this evil desire of Chil Abris and to become a true Shemir Abris. Meinel says, we find that Esther Amalka, the Gemara says, was Beninis. She was of medium height, neither too tall nor too short. Therefore, she possessed beauty, because a woman is just right if she is of medium height, not too tall or too short. What is meant by this statement? Meinel explains that her ancestors, we begin with Rachel first. Rachel Imenu, the Gemara says, was very, very modest. She was so pure in her modesty, the mitzvah that she was willing to give away, to surrender Yaakov Avinu to her sister Leah, not to embarrass Leah. So without telling Yaakov Avinu that there was a fraud being perpetrated, she allowed Leah to become Yaakov Avinu's wife. This great mitzvah of modesty rewarded her with the fact that from her came forth King Shaul, descendant of Benjamin, who also possessed a great degree of modesty, because when he was told by Shmuel HaNavi he'd become king, he kept this information from his uncle as a matter of humbleness and modesty. In reward of this, he too had, his descendant was Esther Hamalka, who was also modest. She did not tell her origin, her religion, to Achashverosh, to anyone else. So we see this as one lineage. Avinu explains now, therefore, since Rachel, it says, Bitchak Tana. Rachel was small. Shaul HaMelech, it says, was tall. Shechmer HaMal Gavaya. Esther was between, just in between these two. It's a secret of why she was just of the average height. Question, of course, is Esther was not between. If she had been born between Rachel and Shaul, we can see that. But she was born third, last. The answer is, this is the depth here, the answer is that between means she came from both of them. She's the only one that came from both. He was born from Rachel and Shaul were her ancestors. The other two had only one. And therefore, since she came from both, she had to have the characteristics of both, which means the in-between stage, that's why she was like Tzora, meaning she also had the qualities of both, and therefore she was that pure. This, of course, shows the fact that there are tzaddikim and tzidkonios, both. Men, women should learn from them, we should be zechut, we should be kabbal from them, and to conduct ourselves in their true modesty.